Hey guys, welcome to another episode of True Crimes and Weird Times. I'm Kim.
I'm Ashley.
And today, I'm going to be telling you about Michelle Von Emster, a woman who was attacked and killed by a great white shark, except shark experts don't think she was killed by a shark.
Huh.
Michelle Von Emster was born August 2, 1968. She grew up in San Carlos, California, just outside of San Francisco. She was one of five girls, and she graduated from Notre Dame High School in 1986. Michelle then started her college education at St. Mary's College, but before she could finish her degree, Michelle was diagnosed with leukemia.
Aww.
She left school while she was in treatment, and after a year, she was declared cancer-free. After beating cancer, Michelle decided it was time for a fresh start, and she moved to San Diego. Over the next couple of years, Michelle moved around pretty frequently. She would move from rented room to rented room. Mm. And from what I could tell, she kind of started in like the nicer neighborhoods and nicer homes. Mm-hmm. And then she kind of like moved down into cheaper homes along the way.
Okay.
So in 1994, Michelle was living in a two-bedroom apartment with a roommate in a somewhat shady Ocean Beach neighborhood that was known as the War Zone.
Oh, no.
The area was known for drugs and other criminal activity, but the rent was cheap and it was near the ocean, which... two things that were in Michelle's favor, because she mostly took minimum wage jobs and she didn't own a car, but she loved to be at the ocean.
Okay.
So this apartment was actually pretty great for her.
Yeah.
Besides the bad location.
Well, you know.
Now, pinning down much more about who Michelle was as a person has proven pretty difficult.
Oh.
Because reports from people who knew her seemed to vary wildly.
Oh.
So while one person claimed that she was like this health food nut who meditated on the beach daily and like was very careful about what she put into her body, someone else was like, oh no, yeah, she liked to go out and party and drink and smoke cigarettes.
Oh, so she was very many faces.
It seems that way, or maybe just these people didn't really know her as well as they thought they did.
That's true.
I don't really know, but there's just so many different accounts of who she was that it's hard for me to say this is who she was.
Wow. Okay.
What we do know, though, is that on the night of April 14th, 1994, Michelle, who was then 25 years old, had tickets to a Pink Floyd concert that night.
Nice.
Right? Good choice. She and her roommate, who was also her friend, was named Coco Campbell. They got ready. They drove to the Jack Murphy Stadium where the band was playing, and they were just ready for this amazing show. They were so excited. But they get to the door, and the girls are turned away and refused entry.
Huh.
Because somehow the girls had made a mistake when purchasing tickets, and they had bought the wrong ones.
Oh, no.
So... that's super disappointing, I'm sure. And the girls had no choice but to go back home because they didn't have the right tickets.
Yeah.
Now, on the way back to the apartment, Michelle asked Coco to drop her off at the pier, which was about six blocks from their apartment.
Okay.
Now, Coco said Michelle was in kind of a strange mood and she just didn't want to go home yet, which, I mean, you were looking forward to this concert. You were all pumped up. Like, I can understand being... disappointed and being like, I don't really want to go home and just dwell on it. Let me just try to do something else for a little while.
Well, you saw what I did about his island.
Right. So around 8 p.m., Michelle exited the car. She was wearing a green trench coat and holding her purse.
Okay.
And that was the last time that she was ever seen alive.
Oh, okay.
The next day, around 3 p.m., two men were out surfing, and they noticed something strange over in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
They could see a bunch of seagulls seemingly just standing on the water.
Ugh.
So they paddle over, and they discover that they were actually standing on a body.
Yeah.
And it was the body of Michelle Von Emster. She was floating face down in some kelp beds, and she was about a couple hundred yards offshore. Her body was totally nude besides her jewelry. She had a few rings on, a couple bracelets.
Okay.
And while Michelle's body hadn't been in the water for very long, her injuries, both pre and post-mortem, were pretty horrific.
Oh, God.
Most notably, like right off the bat about the body, you notice that her right leg was gone from the mid-thigh down.
Okay.
She also had broken ribs, a broken pelvis, as well as a broken neck.
Oh, God.
And the medical examiner said her pelvis had been pulled apart by brute force.
Oh, my God.
Her face was covered in contusions and bruising. Mm-hmm. And her mouth, throat, lungs, and stomach all had large amounts of sand in them.
Oh, that's strange.
That means, essentially, that Michelle would have had to been at the bottom of the ocean and taken in a big deep breath.
Right.
With her face right down in the sand. There were also large areas of tissue missing from her body, since it had been scavenged by blue sharks and some other marine life after her death.
Yeah.
So the autopsy later showed that Michelle had suffered from internal bleeding and she had ultimately drowned, meaning she sustained all of those injuries prior to her death.
Oh, God.
I know. It sounds just horrific. I can't. Oh, it's terrible.
It's one of those, I don't even want to, my brain doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, I don't want to think about it too hard. Now, one of the very first theories that pops up when the body was discovered was shark attack.
Well, yeah, I mean, that sounds plausible.
Makes sense, right? The medical examiner that performed the autopsy was Brian Blackburn. Now, he actually was not the first to suggest the shark attack theory. The very first medical examiner to see Michelle's body, he was on scene immediately, and he suspected a shark attack as well, specifically a great white shark.
Okay. And again, that's a pretty it's pretty plausible.
I mean, she's clearly got shark activity on her body. You can see shark bite marks. I mean, they clearly fed on her body after she died.
Right.
And the missing leg, for one.
Yeah, the broken or the broken pelvis being pulled apart. I mean.
Right.
What normal things do that usually?
So. Right, exactly. So you can see it's not a huge leap to go from what you see here to shark attack.
Right.
Now, Blackburn did consult with a couple of shark experts about his suspicions, and at the time of the consultations, the shark experts agreed with his findings. They're like, okay, yeah, that sounds pretty typical. That sounds about right. You know, they just kind of given him their opinion at the time. According to Blackburn, Michelle most likely went into the water for a swim around midnight, probably removing her clothes first, which would explain her being nude.
Right.
She was then attacked by a great white shark, which drug her to the bottom of the ocean, causing her injuries. And it's also when she would have attempted to inhale, leading to the sand in her lungs and stomach.
Right.
The shark took her leg after it left. Then the blue sharks were responsible for the rest of the damage to the body.
Okay.
Now, when you lay this out, the shark attack, it makes sense.
Yeah.
It's the most likely scenario. It's plausible. It explains all of her injuries and the circumstances around her body.
Right.
And everyone seems to be in agreement on the conclusion. That is, until Ralph Collier, the shark expert, who initially agreed with Blackburn's shark attack ruling, saw pictures of Michelle's body.
Oh, okay.
You see, it turns out that Blackburn only consulted experts through interviews about the body. None of them actually saw the body.
Okay.
And everyone who did actually see Michelle's body, none of them had ever seen a body of a person killed by a shark attack.
Oh, okay.
So basically, anyone who would know what they're looking at didn't get to examine her. And the people who did examine her had no idea what a shark attack victim actually looks like.
Right, because if I looked at it, I'm like, looks like a
shark to me. I see tooth marks and bites and rocks. Okay, got it. Shark.
Sounds good.
Now, before I tell you all of his findings and opinions, let me tell you a little bit about who Ralph Collier is and why his opinion is so important.
All right, fill me in.
Collier has studied human-shark interactions for over 40 years.
Oh, okay.
He founded the Shark Research Committee. Mm-hmm. He's the author of Shark Attacks of the 20th Century from the Pacific Coast of North America. He's the guy that networks like Animal Planet and BBC and National Geographic and so many more like that. They consult this guy for their documentaries and for their Shark Week episodes.
Ah, okay.
And he's also the director of the GSAF, which is the Global Shark Attack File.
Oh, wow.
And I could go more into explaining what they do, but at this point, you guys get the picture.
Yeah.
So if anyone in the world would recognize a shark attack, it's this guy.
It's Ralph Collier.
Yeah. According to Collier, all it took to change his mind about Michelle's cause of death was seeing a photo of Michelle's leg bone.
Oh.
He says that when a shark bites off part of a limb, it is a clean break. I mean, think about it. It's coming down, big sharp teeth. It's going to just slice.
Okay. No, that makes sense.
He compared it to it being cut with like a table saw. Just gone.
Okay.
But Michelle's femur didn't look like that at all. Instead, it came to a point at the end, almost like it'd been kind of whittled away.
Oh.
And according to Collier, this type of break is caused by a bone being twisted under tremendous force.
Oh, God. Okay.
Which, I don't know how much you know about sharks, but we do know that they don't death roll like crocodiles.
Right. I'm just trying to figure out what would cause her leg to turn to make it a point.
We'll get to theories in a little bit.
Okay.
But that's not even the only thing that stood out to Collier. The other thing was the sand. Mm-hmm. Michelle's face would have had to have been pushed into the ocean floor for her to ingest that amount of sand.
Oh.
But that's not something that great whites do.
No, I can, well, I don't know. I'm not Ralph Collier, but I'm just saying, like, I can see them bringing their dinner down, but not pushing them into the sand.
Right. They do pull them under.
Yeah.
We know that. They bring them down to try to drown them.
Yeah.
Because it's usually seals and stuff.
Yeah, right.
But they don't slam them into the ocean floor, which is what the autopsy basically says happened, is that's how her neck was broken and her ribs were broken.
Wow.
Is that the shark slammed her into the bottom of the ocean floor. Uh-huh. And that's when she inhaled and that's when all these breaks took place.
Okay.
But Collier also pointed out that had a great white shark indeed bitten off her leg, she would have bled out from her femoral artery very quickly.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
But the autopsy shows that she was alive when she sustained the rest of her injuries. Most notably, she would have had to have been alive to inhale that sand.
That's true.
There's no other way for it to be in her airways and stomach.
Yeah.
Period. So if the shark took her leg, she wouldn't have been alive to drown at the bottom.
Yeah, she'd have bled out first.
And it couldn't have taken her leg after if she was alive when she sustained that injury.
Right.
So.
That's weird. Okay.
We're not even done, though. The final straw for Collier, though, was the complete lack of white shark teeth impressions on her body. A great white shark will leave distinct bite marks and often even teeth behind in its victims.
I didn't know that.
Because, you know, sharks are constantly losing teeth.
That's true, yeah.
But all of the bite marks on Michelle came from the much smaller blue sharks that fed on her body after she died. Shark experts were all in agreement that no other shark other than a great white could have bitten off Michelle's leg. If a shark bit off her leg, it was a great white.
Okay.
But if there are no bite marks from a great white, and the severed bone doesn't match up with a shark bite, and the sequence of events claimed in the autopsy doesn't match up to great white behavior, then we're left with zero evidence of a great white shark being involved at all.
So what was it?
Well, There was one other scientist that kind of weighed in on this shark debate here. His name is Richard Rosenblatt. I'm so sorry if I'm saying his name wrong. Richard Rosenblatt, at the time, was a marine biology professor and the chairman of the graduate department at the Scripps Institute of Oceanography, and that was at the time of Michelle's death.
Okay.
Blackburn, the autopsy examiner, he did consult with this guy as well during the case. And during this time, Rosenblatt agreed that no shark besides a great white could have bitten through a human femur.
Okay.
He also pointed out that according to the events of the autopsy, Michelle went in the water around midnight. Okay. And great whites don't hunt at nighttime because they have light-activated retinas.
Oh, okay.
And that means they rely on the daylight above the water to see the silhouette of their prey above them. Okay. So if it was nighttime, the shark wouldn't have been able to see her. Again, though, Rosenblatt was consulted over the phone, and he never actually saw Michelle's body either.
Oh, okay. But he was able to tell them more over the phone than most.
Right. But all he could go on was what he was given.
Right, exactly.
To this day, Michelle's death is not officially recognized as a shark attack in the GSAF.
Oh, wow.
As far as shark experts are concerned, Michelle was not killed by a shark, and she is not listed in any of the records locally or internationally, even.
Oh, okay.
Like, there's global shark attack record, and Michelle is not on there.
Did not know that.
I didn't either until I started researching this case.
Well, I mean, if everything you say is right, then she shouldn't be.
Right.
So, what was it?
Well, besides what the shark experts pointed out, there are some other strange circumstances around Michelle's death that just don't seem to fit in with that official shark attack ruling.
Okay.
So first, I want to talk about her lack of clothing.
Right.
The night that Michelle died was in April. It was not a nice warm summer night for someone to go skinny dipping. It was in the high 50s that night, with the ocean being around 59 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's not swimming weather.
At that temperature, Michelle would have begun feeling the effects of hypothermia within 10 to 15 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So why would she choose to swim naked in the dark when it's literally freezing? And why would she leave just her jewelry on? I mean, wouldn't you be afraid of losing your rings in the cold water?
Yeah.
That would be my first thought. Yeah, like, exactly. My fingers are going to shrink. I'm going to lose all my jewelry. I better take it off.
Yeah.
So the next question is, what happened to her clothes?
Exactly.
Her clothes were never found.
Really?
Her purse was, though.
Huh.
Her purse was found on a beach about 2.5 miles from where her body was recovered.
That's odd.
Now, it gets even weirder because nothing was missing.
Huh.
Her wallet, her keys, $27 in cash, like a fanny pack or something she'd been carrying, like everything was there.
Huh.
But there were no signs of her clothes anywhere nearby.
That's really weird.
And the purse was found at 8 p.m. the night after Michelle died.
Like, perhaps it was tossed?
Well, the place the purse was found was in a very high traffic stretch of beach.
Oh.
Meaning, Michelle's purse sat in the open on a crowded stretch of beach all day, and no one touched it.
Not likely.
No one took anything out of it. I mean, what are the chances?
Exactly.
Of no one touching a purse that's been on the beach all day. So either,
at least even taking the money out.
Right. So either it was not on the beach all day.
Right.
Or it was just some very strange series of events that everyone who was on that beach decided to leave alone this abandoned purse.
Not likely.
Yeah, not likely. Another strange thing in the case that I know I've already brought up several times now is the sand. The sand that she ingested. People who drown don't have sand in their lungs.
Right.
People who are drowning are at the top of the water trying to resurface.
Right.
They're not laying face down on the ocean floor.
Did it ever say how far down she was to ingest that sand?
No.
I mean, there's no way to tell where she
was. There's no way to know. She could have been a mile under the water. She could have been on the shore.
Okay.
I mean.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Maybe somebody had her pinned down.
Now, the last thing I want to talk about before we go into theories on what could have happened to Michelle is a man named Edwin Decker. Now, Edwin is a strange guy. Edwin is a man who claims to have had a brief romantic relationship with Michelle.
Uh-huh.
He worked at a bar, which was next door to the coffee shop Michelle worked at.
Okay.
According to Edwin, the two had spent several weeks flirting before finally getting some drinks together the night before Michelle died.
Oh, okay.
Edwin has this bizarre story that he published called Send in the Sharks. More of an article, really.
Okay.
Now, I searched and searched for this story, but I was unable to find a full copy on the internet anywhere. I'm pretty sure Edwin has tried to wipe these things away off the internet at this point in time.
Gee, I wonder why.
But I did find parts of it here and there and parts that he was quoted from, and it's bizarre. It's a very strange way to talk about someone who has just passed away.
Was this written before or after her death?
After.
Okay.
He also wrote a second article later about Michelle called Open and Shut, Revisiting the Mysterious Death of Michelle Von Emster.
Look, I'm way too cynical for this. As far as I'm concerned, this is a man who is clipping news articles and putting it in a scrapbook as prizes.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Look, I don't know, but...
Well, just hang on. He gets a little stranger. Now, in these articles, the second one, the Open and Shut, Revisiting the Mysterious Death,
okay.
I was able to find a copy of that one.
Oh, cool.
And I did read it. And in these articles, he talks about Michelle's case, but he also talks a lot about their dream date.
Ew.
And how they spent the night drinking and flirting and like making out and fondling each other on his couch like all night until dawn.
Ew.
And oh, but also there was some random bouncer from the bar they were at that was third wheeling on the couch and like falling mm-hmm. asleep. So they couldn't actually like have sex, but they did, you know.
Yeah.
It's a really crazy article. Like, who writes about someone this way when they've just died?
I was gonna say, after their death. Yeah, we went around a couple bases. That's so weird.
Yeah, and he really, I mean, he doesn't hold back on talking about this date.
Yikes.
So it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth right from the start.
Yeah.
And that's not the only weird thing he wrote about Michelle. Shortly after her death, mm-hmm. Edwin published a book of poems, from what I can tell.
Okay.
And in this book, one of the poems was called Shark Attack.
Hmm.
Let me read that poem to you, Ashley.
Oh, please do.
The report said there was a tattoo, a butterfly on her shoulder, which I remembered that night on my couch when I, like the shark, chewed on her lips and took off her shirt.
And that's enough. Thank you so much.
That's it. That's the poem.
No, thank you.
Now, Michelle did, in fact, have a butterfly tattoo on her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought it up because that's one of the ways that they identified her after the attack. And mm-hmm. Edwin had seen that. And apparently, it brought him back to, she showed him her tattoo that night in his house. And
did she or did you kill her, Edwin?
Well, Edwin also claimed that Michelle told him she liked to surf naked.
Mm-hmm.
Except her friends all said that they had never even seen Michelle surf before.
Wow. Okay.
Now, despite being super strange.
Yeah.
And the questionability of his story at all.
Mm-hmm.
In 2008, Edwin did team up with a journalist named Neil Matthews, who had written the only investigative article to come out about the case back in 1994. And the two of them pled with the new ME, Glenn Wagner, to review the autopsy for Michelle. According to Edwin's second article, the one I was able to read, he didn't realize that there was anything strange about the shark attack theory until someone else was attacked by a shark around mm-hmm. 2008.
Okay.
And news stations started talking about previous shark attacks in the area, as they do.
Right.
And only one or two of them mentioned Michelle. Other news stations didn't throw her name out there.
Well, because it's
questionable. Because she's not recognized as a shark attack. And when Edwin realized this, when he figured out that she wasn't officially recognized as a shark attack, that's when he teamed up with this other investigative journalist and they went to the Emmy to try and get them to re-examine her case.
That sounds really suspicious.
A little, but at the same time, I can't help but think, like, if this guy is some psycho who killed her, why would he push to have the case reopened? That seems counterproductive.
Well, because he wants it to be a shark attack and then he's off the hook.
Maybe. But he was trying to convince them that it was not a shark attack.
Oh. Yeah. I thought it was the other way around. Sorry.
No. Okay. He wanted them to, like, go back and relook at it because he's like, if they don't think it's a shark attack, guys, it's probably not a shark attack. You should look again.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. Never mind.
Now, Wagner, the new ME, mm-hmm. did look at her case again, and he did conclude that while the injuries aren't typical of a shark attack, and there were definitely some questionable pieces of evidence, mm-hmm. he didn't feel that it warranted amending her death certificate.
Okay. Well, I mean, if it were truly a shark attack, would it matter at this point?
Probably not. So in his eyes, that's probably... What's the point?
Yeah.
Because officially the autopsy says drowning after a shark attack. That's what her cause of death is.
Yeah, then I'm with him. I wouldn't amend it either if that's the case.
Let's talk about theories.
My favorite.
There are lots and lots of theories out there about this case. I mean, I found one list that had like 14 different theories.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
But I'm going to share the ones that I found to be the most probable.
Okay.
Like, there's some out there about... she was tripping on LSD that she took before she went to the Pink Floyd concert and she like went nuts and went in the ocean. And that one just didn't, one didn't hold very much credibility to me. So the ones like that, I'm skipping over. So okay. I'm going to go with the ones that seem most likely. Now we're going to start with the first one that is probably on everyone's mind already. And that theory is foul play.
Yes.
There are a few things about the case that make this a possibility. First, was the fact that Michelle was found naked.
Right.
If she undressed herself, why weren't her clothes found with or even near her purse at the beach?
Exactly. They never even found them, so...
And why didn't anyone find the purse sooner if it was really there the entire day?
Exactly.
And then there's the sand in her lungs and stomach, which could potentially have been there if someone was maybe holding your face down in shallow water to drown you.
Right.
There's also the fact that Michelle didn't live in a very safe neighborhood. I mean, there were people there who would hurt someone just to, you know, take their money, just to assault them. And unfortunately, Michelle's body did not have a rape kit done on it because it was not suspected as foul play. It was a shark attack.
Could you at that point anyway with her being in the water?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. Even if she didn't live in a safe neighborhood, no one took her money. No one took her purse. No one took her jewelry off her hands and arms.
Right.
So it doesn't look like a mugging.
It doesn't seem like somebody just killed her for, you know, to take her stuff.
Yeah.
There have been two unofficial suspects in Michelle's death. The first is a man that we don't know the name of, but he was reportedly stalking Michelle at her job at the coffee shop.
Oh, okay.
She had actually just found a new job at an office supply store to get away from this guy.
Oh.
And unfortunately, all we know about him is that he rode a motorcycle. However, Michelle's bosses at the supply store also claimed that after Michelle's death, a man came in to make a bunch of copies of Michelle's original autopsy report.
Okay.
She did not know this man, and she didn't know how he got a copy of this autopsy report, but she did make a note that this man rode a motorcycle.
Oh. Ew.
And I actually, in one of the articles, it said that the boss kept one of the copies of the autopsy for herself.
Yeah.
Because this guy was just in there making, like, crazy copies of this. How did he even get it?
Yeah.
And he had, like, handwritten on the last page, like, something about this is bullshit or something. I can't remember the exact quote. Don't quote me on that. I'd have to look at it again. But he had supposedly written something angry on the very last page of the autopsy. Now, the other suspect is Edwin Decker.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of crossing him off my list, maybe.
Because, you know, everything I said previously about him.
Right.
Did he even have a date with Michelle? Or did maybe, he make all this up?
Maybe he made it all up for publicity. I mean, it was after the fact, so.
I mean, he was young. He was an aspiring journalist. Maybe this was his, like, way into the business.
Yeah. Yikes.
But also, there's the fact that he said that she liked to surf naked, which would, you know, give a little oomph to the fact that she may have gone skinny dipping.
Yeah. However, I mean, how many people, if she did have a date with him, how many people say things maybe they don't mean to look a little bit cooler in front of somebody else, or if she's actually flirting with him?
That's true, too. I didn't even think about that possibility. She could have actually said that to him.
Yeah.
But she doesn't really.
Right.
Like, maybe she wasn't interested in dating him, but she was maybe interested in hooking up and just trying to seem cooler.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to surf naked.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of mysterious and sexy, and that's something you might say to somebody. But at the same time, maybe she didn't.
Maybe she didn't say it at all. Yeah. And you know what? They would have mentioned the fact that she wasn't wearing clothes. Mm-hmm. He could have made that up all on his own.
Absolutely. So. However, the only problem with the foul play theory is that it does not explain the missing leg. Because even if someone had killed her, how would they have twisted her leg bone apart?
And they would have had to do it on the beach. It's not like they could have
gotten in the water and done it. Right. It would have had to been done on the beach. Yikes. And then she would have had to been thrown in the water.
Yeah.
So I know it's everyone's first like go-to, oh man, she wasn't wearing clothes. Her purse was found on the beach. Somebody killed her. But honestly, I feel like if someone killed her, then there's too many things that don't add up. There's too many things that don't fit that scenario.
No, you're right.
Theory two is that she fell from the nearby Sunset Cliffs. Now, her injuries were consistent with a fall or a car accident, according to the ME.
Okay.
The cliffs there are made of sandstone, and they are prone to crumbling.
Mm-hmm.
People have died there before. I mean, people have fallen off of these cliffs and died before. It's happened. It's not some mysterious, maybe it could have happened. Like, it's, it happens. So maybe she was up there and then she possibly fell off of the cliffs, landed face down in the water, maybe, where she drowned and then was carried out by the tide.
Yeah.
But again, the leg.
That's my question. Like,
and again, why would she leave her purse down on the beach if she was going to climb up to the cliffs?
Now, she was dropped off at a dock, right? Or at a pier?
At a pier. Yeah, it wasn't too far from these cliffs and stuff.
Okay.
And, you know, you don't typically lose all your clothes when you fall off a cliff either.
No.
So that theory, again, kind of makes sense,
but there's something
also
missing.
Doesn't.
Yeah.
Now, the last theory I want to go over, which I personally feel like is the most likely, is a boating accident.
I thought about this, like maybe her leg got twisted up.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still weird too. Yeah, go ahead.
There is a theory that Michelle was out for a late night swim and she was hit by a boat.
Mm-hmm.
This would explain her traumatic injuries if she had been hit at high speeds.
Right.
And you know what could twist a bone with tremendous force?
Yep, a propeller.
A propeller. And remember how I said her pelvis had been pulled apart by force? That's also an injury that you do typically see in boating accidents where people are hit by boats.
Okay.
But just like with all of the other ones, there's a few factors in here that just still don't fit. Such as, why would Michelle be skinny dipping in dangerously cold water at nighttime? And then there's the sand in her lungs. Would Michelle have been alive long enough to sink all the way to the bottom of the ocean and inhale sand?
Depends on where she fell, I guess, but even still.
And then what about the cuts and bruises on her face? Why weren't they all over her body?
That's true.
Where did those come from? I mean, sure, it's a possibility she got hit by the boat. If maybe her neck was broken.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
So maybe she was paralyzed. Maybe she couldn't move and she sunk.
And she sank down.
And that's when she inhaled. But then that goes back. I saw a few other points of there's some speculation on how long does it take a body to float.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I mean, even the clothes. Well, no, she wouldn't have been caught by a propeller long enough to take all of her clothes off.
Right.
Man, I don't know.
And where were her clothes?
And where were
if
her
she
clothes?
Took them off herself, what happened to them? I've seen people speculate, like, okay, maybe someone stole the clothes and left the purse, but, like, what are the chances of that?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it can't happen. It can absolutely happen. But who says, I'm going to take these clothes and just ignore that purse over there that might have money in it?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe she got on a boat with some random people to party?
I don't know.
And then they... Something happened. She got thrown over. I don't know.
But why was her purse on the beach then?
Why was her purse on the beach? Unless she they had it and they went, oh, this has her stuff in it.
Let's go throw it on the beach.
Let's go throw it on the beach.
Now, I didn't write this theory down, but one of the other theories that kind of made sense was, had she fallen off the cliff into the water, maybe the tides carried her and smashed her into some rocks or something. Maybe. And then she was hit by a boat.
That's possible. And think about it. If she was in the water, if hypothermia actually started setting in, I don't know how it works in the water, but if she gets cold enough, maybe she felt hot and she took her clothes off.
That's a thing people do with hypothermia, but...
That's still weird. They would have found it somewhere, maybe, right?
There was also the factor of they don't think she was in the water for very long at all before she was killed. Because of the pruning on her fingers.
Oh, okay.
There was not very much of it.
Yeah.
Meaning she couldn't have been in there for very long.
Yeah. Dang.
So hypothermia probably wouldn't have started setting in yet.
Yeah.
But then again, the whole pruning fingers is not an exact science. And everyone's fingers kind of do different things. So that's not a reliable time frame.
No, but it still gives them some kind of information. Ha, you've got me on this one.
Either way, what I get out of this is Michelle was not killed by a shark.
No.
I don't know what happened to her, but I know that she wasn't killed by a great white shark.
I'm going to go with the shark experts on this one.
Yeah.
Because they would know.
Right? If anybody would know, like, why would you say, I know that you've been doing this for 40 years, but I'm going to say shark.
It's a shark.
But if you guys have any thoughts or theories, we would love to hear them.
If you want to
send us a message or get in our Discord and talk to us a little about that. But this case baffled me. This was meant to be a short little half episode case. I was not trying to do another full episode true crime case. And the more I dug into this case, then the more I found, the more I was like, nothing makes sense.
That's a rabbit hole case for sure. So weird that, like, there's nothing definitive.
Nothing.
And you always find these. Like, I don't know how you find all these.
Every theory has holes. There is no theory that's like, this makes everything make sense.
Yeah.
None of them do.
And we'll never know.
We'll never know. Unfortunately, it happened in 1994.
Yeah.
It's now 2022. The chances of us ever getting answers of what happened to Michelle, especially with her case being officially closed, are pretty much non-existent.
Yeah.
So all we can do is remember her and try to come up with our own theories, and that's about it.
Thanks for listening.
Like us on Facebook at True Crimes and Weird Times Podcast.
Follow us on Instagram at True Crimes Weird Times.
Email us your stories at truecrimesweirdtimes@gmail.com.
Can't wait for the next episode? Check out our Patreon for bonus episodes and more.
And if you enjoyed the show, make sure to subscribe and leave a review.
Bye!